98% of those who stayed at or below their tax cap passed their budgets. If you exceeded your tax cap, seek to pierce the cap, as some districts did, approximately 27 statewide, you're rolling the dice. It's a riskier proposition, and only 30% of those passed.
So those that did not pass will have a revote on June 18th, I believe it is, next month. What happens between now and then for those districts that did not get that budget approval?
It depends. You're going to take a look at your budget, take a look at your voter turnout. Many of them do exit polls to determine what people liked or didn't like about the budget, and do some recalibrations. They will have to determine if they want to go back. They don't have to go back on June 18th, although to go to immediately to a contingency budget is a pretty drastic action because you're going to 0% increase. So in all likelihood, most, if not all, will go back on June 18th. There was one district I was made aware of this morning that lost its vote by lost its budget by 3 votes. Now, if I was on that board, I'd probably think, maybe we go back with the exact same budget and see if we can get 4 more people to vote yes. But if we lost by a bunch, I'm probably going to go back and sharpen my pencil a bit.
What about the tax cap? How does it affect the budgets when they're being made? How does it affect staff levels, teaching levels, equipment, buses, et cetera? How do these budgets come in? As you said, most of them were under their local tax cap. How does it affect the budget-making process? What do these boards have to do to get this this spending plan in line with the cap?
Yeah, it certainly has a fiscal impact. But, you know, what I'm sensing right now is it's as much a psychological impact. It's almost like this line of demarcation. We cannot afford to go beyond this tax cap. It used to be that you would try to put together the highest quality program you could possibly have. Now let's figure out how we're going to pay for it and go get the money to do it. Today, with the tax cap in place, we start with that. How much money are we going to have available to us within the cap? Now let's see what kind of program we could afford. So it has had an impact on the kind of the pattern by which you go about budgeting.
So this is really now a fact of life. This, I remember when Governor Cuomo was pushing this, there was a good deal of opposition, but it seems that it's been accepted.
Well, it was a good deal of opposition for people like me and others, but apparently the public was embraced it, if you'll recall. It was widely supported. Today, I must say, I think school boards, school officials are becoming somewhat accustomed to budgeting within the cap. When you see only 27 school districts try to pierce the cap. But I will say that those that were trying to pierce the cap appeared to have some pretty legitimate reasons. I'm looking at the list, and I'm seeing that quite a few of them are highly dependent on local property taxes. They don't get much state aid. And so when you don't get much state aid and your costs are increasing, particularly your pension costs, you have to go somewhere. And I think for some of these people, they felt they had a legitimate argument. Now they're going to have to decide what they're going to do if they did not pass that budget the first time around.
How did the state aid that was included in this year's state budget affect the budget votes, do you think?
I think it actually was very helpful. You had over $1 billion in additional state aid get distributed across the state. You know, there would be those who would argue that I didn't get as much as we should have, and the system by which we distribute state aid is not fair. You're going to hear a lot of that always. But I do think it softened the blow. It did allow most school districts to put forward a levy proposal, a budget, that was reasonable. Spending was going up about 2.9% on average statewide. And on average, the levy proposals that came forward were about 2.8%. So it would have been higher if it had not been for the increase in state aid.
At districts across the state, are sports and extracurricular activities feeling the budget pinch, or some just being cut to meet this cap?
I think a lot of that has happened already. There is still some of that going on, but maybe, you know, it was kind of quiet this year. You didn't see or hear a lot of the drama that was going on in years past. And unfortunately, I think that's because a lot of the cuts have already been made. The people have been laid off. Programs have been cut. A variety of school districts are down to no AP courses or one or two, one foreign language course. They've cut music, they've cut sports, they've cut transportation runs. A variety of different things have happened. They really don't have many more places to go. What they're doing is going into their reserves now. And those reserves have been kind of sustaining them for a couple years, and up to a big extent this year. $1.3 billion will be spent out of reserves this year alone.
Yesterday, budgets were not just voted on. School board members were also elected. You're with the State School Boards Association. Tell us more about what it means to be on a school board. These people don't get paid. They give up their nights during weekdays. What motivates, do you think, someone to join a school board?
You know, I ask that question. I've been doing this for 34 years, and every year I ask, you know, why it is that you ran, or what was your proudest accomplishment as a school board member and thing. And people run because they really do believe in public education. They love their communities. They want to see the best for their kids. The people I talk to are becoming very concerned about graduation rates, college and career readiness, school safety, the quality of the people whom we employ, certainly how the monies are spent, being prudent stewards of the budget, and the relationship with the community. They want to make sure that communities feel an ownership with their public schools and that's not lost. And these are people who really are, they embrace this concept of local control, local decision-making, local ownership of these public schools.